And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast.
Number 40.
You might have listened to others. We will forgive your sins.
Will? Are you sure?
Well,
I don't know.
It depends.
Maybe if they give us Hickory Farms.
And or an Aprilia.
There you go.
Now, what I'd really like, Ed, is an Aprilia with
Hickory Farms.
Like
in the
well, you know, I'm willing to settle for a small one. One that would fit under the passenger seat.
Okay.
You know, because I'm a reasonable man.
Who are you?
I am. Right? I'm a reasonable man. Who the hell are you? I'm Michael Gugis. You can find my photos on the web at smugmug.com. And you, I believe, are Ed Sorbo.
Last time I checked.
Of Lindemann Engineering.
le-suspension.com.
You know what's missing from here, Ed?
From here in my shop? I wouldn't mind having a mill.
No, I was thinking Hickory Farms.
Yeah, we are missing Hickory Farms.
And we are definitely Aprilia deficient. You know what we do have in your shop, Ed? A load of baby spiders. What the hell, man? I do not like spiders.
Apparently.
I'm totally arachnophobic. Oh, this is not good at all.
I like spiders because they catch and devour the little flying insects
that
bother me more.
All that work you did on cleaning your little ninja, those little bad boys over there are going to, like, they're going to be plugging up your main jets.
So we had a hatching.
Yeah, yeah.
And up there on one of the sets of fluorescent lights, there's like 50 or 75 little cute little tiny baby spiders.
Yeah.
You know, I have my garden hose coiled up all nicely outside by my wash area.
Okay.
And so one night I was going out there and there's a big tarantula sitting there next to the garden hose. So I took a picture of it, of course.
Right.
Really good looking tarantula spider. And I posted it up on Facebook with a comment about proper storage of your garden hose all neatly, and didn't mention anything about a spider at all, right? And of course the internet blew up with spider comments, all these pussies like, well, get fire and burn the spider and all that kind of stuff. You know, have you guys ever heard that saying?
What saying?
They're all God's creatures.
Yes, but some of them are spiders, Ed. You know, it's like, come on, give me a break. I don't go running around biting people with toxic venom. I do occasionally.
These guys won't bite you.
You know
what?
I hope they reproduce in your idle jets. Speaking of idle jets, we're laughing about Ed's race bike, his Ninja 250 over here, and he was talking about while at Miller, he had to do a jetting change
because of the altitude.
Right.
Change the air density sufficiently enough. So I had to physically change the jets because it's not fuel injected. It has carburetors.
Right.
It was funny because one of my pit mates, Tyler, comes over and goes, can I watch? I've never seen a carburetor before. He has an R6.
Now tell us what happened to Tyler's
bike.
Well,
then the really funny part is, okay, so carburetors can be a pain in the ass. You got to change the jets physically. You get gas all over your hands.
Right.
You're working on the bike when it's hot, yada, yada, yada. And fuel injection, man, you just plug in the laptop, you push some buttons, you change the numbers on there, and you're done, right?
By the way, that's plugging in the laptop is now old school.
Now you can do it on the dashboard. Right, on the dashboard, or you have a device that transfers the information to it. But if you watch MotoGP,
right,
you roll the bike in, and the guy plugs something in right away
and
downloads.
Yes, because those freaking bikes have enough data on them to get a missile to Mars.
So Tyler's R6 started running funny.
Right.
So he plugs in a laptop and he looks at the numbers in the map. And like most of the numbers are like, you know, plus 12, minus 10, blah, 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 right? And then over here in this one little box of corner, the numbers are like in the 300 range. We're like, well, that's clearly the problem. What happens? Like, I don't know, man. It just changed itself on its own. Right?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I tell you what, a carburetor, the jet can fall out, but no other jet is going to jump in there and change it. So the point here is, right, yeah,
unless
fuel injection and electronics are fantastic, but there is always a downside to whatever your new thing is. And in the case of this, like maybe it kills your battery faster or things randomly change. We've all had computer problems where we're like, what is it doing?
It just didn't do that before.
Now, you call up help. Did you turn it off and turn it back on?
Right, exactly. Did you reboot it? We have to take a moment, and I don't know if we've done this before this podcast. I don't care if we do it every time in this podcast. We have to go back to the Andy Milton Cheater Motors t-shirt. Andy Milton, a racer. I think he did some AMA stuff, but he raced out at Willow. Crashed, was injured. Fundraiser t-shirt. The t-shirt that I remember was the top 10 excuses for Andy Milton's Cheater Motors. and I think it was number four. It was, I don't know, maybe the Pistons just got bigger by themselves.
They grew.
I love that.
The most famous shirt like that I've heard of, I don't remember what year it was, the Corvette went to a bigger engine.
Okay.
So it was now the bore is bigger than it had been in all the previous mm-hmm. years. And the guy, the designer said, no, that was a weight saving measure.
A weight saving
measure? Yeah, you got less steel liner.
You know, Zoran did one. Zoran Vujicinovic from Twinworks Factories. He did a top 10 T-shirt. It was sold to raise money, I think, for the corner workers at AFM, and they were great. It was one of those like Chuck Norris type T-shirts. It's like Zoran's bikes have no starters. He just stares at them and wills the bike to start.
You know, like they need to get some corner worker training going down in Bruno.
Let's talk about that.
Marquez. Makes a mistake in the turn 12 or 13, second to the last corner.
We're talking about day one of practice at Brno GP.
Right, Friday at Brno. And so he runs through the gravel, and he does a classic Marquez, turn left in the deep gravel, don't hit the wall, right. Life is good. And then, I don't get it. Like, I thought the bike had traction control, but apparently it knows when it's in the gravel. And, he corrected it going this way, and then it, the other way, and spin him off at 2 miles an hour, he tips over in the gravel. So... the next scene, they show him on the bike, pushing the bike by himself, and four corner workers watching him. And he jumps on the bike, and of course it doesn't catch. So then he looks at them, and it's clear he wants to push.
Right.
And there's one young, short, the shortest person there is a girl.
Okay.
Smallest person there. She runs right over, and she starts pushing, and
you
somebody else that you can't see very well. She probably wanted a date with him.
Because he's adorable. He's
Mark Marquez. I mean, come on. If I was a girl, I would be after Mark.
You know what? I'm not. Yeah. I'm not putting these kind of limits on things.
And then, so there's this one person who's really enthusiastic. She's pushing as hard as she can, and she looks like she weighs 80 pounds. She's not going to do anything, right? And then there's one other person who's kind of pushing, but from the side, so the bike's not really going straight. Then there's an old guy in the back who's limping, and I'm like, well, okay, he can't do it. And then there's this stout-looking 20-something-year-old guy. He looks like he's in good shape and everything. And he's got a radio, and he's walking the other way, talking on the radio, watching
this,
them.
This is why the East Germans lost.
Well, this isn't Germany.
Where are they?
They're Czechoslovakia.
Right. That's why
it's the communist system, right?
Yep.
Come on, people. It's Marquez. Push. The guy, he had to push the bike all the way to the pits by himself. Like, they didn't even send somebody to... I'm like, what's going on?
I'd still
you know what?
Track.
In America, we don't let kids spray champagne, but our corner workers would have—they would have pushed them all the way. Damn it!
Most of the time. I still want to ride that track.
And, yes.
But before we get to electronics, I will. I'm going to go on the record here, Ed.
Okay.
We're putting it on tape. So
what speed? 33 or 45 and a half?
Oh no, 78.
Okay.
And was it 78 and a quarter? 78.
I thought it was.
I think it's flat 78.
Yeah, 78. Yeah.
33 and 45.
Are the small ones.
Yeah.
If you're too young, look it up on the internet.
Exactly.
And don't
Jesus
know what we're
ask your
about.
Great-grandparents.
It's another Easter egg.
I think this is a. I think this might be the one of the deciding moments of the championship title chase this year, this race this weekend. If Marquez can beat these guys today, and he's been fast, and Pedrosa's been fast too. Now Pedrosa hurt his foot. So we'll see if he can ride tomorrow. He's in a fair amount of pain. You know, forget what a tough little son of a bitch he is, man.
Well, all of those guys.
He said in his interview, the problem with the foot that I hit is that it's the one filled with screws.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, right?
So let me back up a second, though. I want to see how you can say to me this race could be a turning point
Very
in the
simple.
Championship.
This
all of them are going to be turning
all,
points.
All,
this,
all,
the
all
rest of
them.
You're safe with that statement.
Right. No, here's why. This is a track that most people are arguing is a Yamaha track, okay? That it's better suited to the Yamaha, though the Ducati looks like it's doing a little better.
They're definitely doing better here.
Okay?
Yep.
If Marquez can beat the Yamahas on a Yamaha track.
Well, he'll beat some of the Yamahas, but he won't beat Lorenzo.
I don't know. We'll
I
see.
Know you don't
it's,
know, but
it's,
I do.
I've seen the practice time so far.
Have you
far.
Seen turn one of this track?
Yeah.
That is the perfect Lorenzo corner. Lorenzo could get qualifying one.
Right.
And be 13th on the grid.
Right.
The exit of turn one on the start, Lorenzo in the lead. You know how long and sweeping that corner is?
Have you seen all of the corners?
Yeah, they all look like Lorenzo
those
corners.
Those all look like Marquez corners to me.
You know, I've only watched the first practice so far.
Okay.
Marquez was the fastest in the stadium section, the part with the most corners. You know, so you know this thing about it's a Honda track and it's a Yamaha track. I think those two bikes are so close
together now,
it kind of doesn't matter. Which Marquez and which Lorenzo wake up in the morning is going to have more
and it gives
play.
And it gives the jackasses in the media something to talk about.
I am so happy with the three guys that MotoGP has announcing.
Aren't they great?
They're not perfect. It's a really, really difficult job.
Right.
But, man, they don't say stupid shit.
Right?
And
who's the guy with the deep voice and the pit guy or the technical guy?
Yeah.
Neil Spaulding?
No. His name will come to me in a minute. But you know what I found?
He's good. I like
him. A video that he did. They do these videos introducing you to the track, right?
Right.
There's one where he is riding the track and talking while he's riding. And he did a good job of it.
Right.
And I've never been to whatever track that was, but I can tell you the guy was going at a good speed, you know, and talking while dragging his knee, et cetera. The guys have their shit together, and they're hustling. It's really impressive.
I'm happy with those guys.
Matt?
No.
Dylan Gray. Down in pit lane, Dylan Gray.
Dylan Gray, okay.
And it's Matt, somebody or other, sitting next to main guy.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of?
They had a bunch of different guys, like, every year for a while.
Yeah.
And now they got these two guys. But we were going to try to talk about electronics.
We're getting there. All I'm saying,
we used up half the show already.
We got plenty of time.
I know we got plenty of time.
We haven't even talked about pizza yet. But,
dude, this is only the 40th show of, like, 5,000 we're going to do. We got a ton of time, I know.
Right, we got plenty of time. Just... breathe.
Oh, look at this.
Relax.
Chilled.
Ease on down
chilled Michael
a little bit, okay?
Yeah. It's Coolhead Ed.
Coolhead Ed. Forgot
not,
about
not
that.
Not Relaxed Michael.
What's it? Oh, the name of the website is, there. Fixed it. I fixed it.
We were having pizza today. Michael brought his wife, and my wife was already here, so we were having pizza before
which
making...
Which is a good place for Ed's wife to be.
Yeah. We were having pizza and talking story, and they told us about a website called I Fixed It. Apparently, it's got all kinds of really cool redneck engineering stuff. I'm going to go check it out tonight.
Oh, man.
I might have to submit some of my stuff.
They're going to ban you. Exactly. No more, please. But will you at least? It would be kind of like if the y'all...
He's pointing at me, folks.
I am pointing at him. There's hand gestures involved. It would be sort of like if the Hondas were to win this weekend at Bruno, it would be kind of like the Yamahas winning at Aragon or Motegi.
Okay, and let's say that we're assuming, you know, no weird shit goes on. It's an up-and-up race.
Right, yeah.
And Lorenzo gets beat by Marquez, If Marquez can win here, then Lorenzo's going to have to – that's going to be a woo-hoo.
There's some really interesting stuff I've read on GP1, and you're a professional racer who's chased titles. I've done my fair share, but, you know, I'll run this by you to see what you think. Number of the European commentators have simply said that, you know, okay, yeah, it's still a big gap to the lead for Marquez, but his job is simple. He just goes out and wins, you know.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
You know,
and he crashed. Lorenzo he can be his own worst enemy if he starts thinking too much and all that kind of stuff.
Same thing with Rossi, you know.
Yeah,
those guys. Here's the difference. Marquez goes out and crashes this weekend. Hey, I was trying too hard on a Yamaha track. Oh well.
Well,
you
if
know?
He if he crashes one more time this year, his title hopes are done.
Completely done.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, okay, Lorenzo or Rossi crashed this weekend, and it's an opportunity that's been thrown away.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
It's just like, you know, it's just, I
the,
love
the
psychology.
Dynamics of this stuff is never ending.
Ah, it's so much fun.
Lorenzo made a statement on one of his interviews that I was watching recently. It was really, you know, of course he knows it, but it was something along the line of, you know, not letting his own mind destroy himself.
Right?
So it's the thing where we all know what our thing that we think we're not, right? We're not our good at.
Right.
We have our secret fears of whatever it is, right?
Right.
And it's
hard. And spiders.
Bears and spiders, okay? It's hard to lead all the time. And so if you get to the place where you start thinking, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm going to fold under the pressure. Oh, yeah. Whatever it is, you're host.
You're done.
Have to fight that. And that's why, like, you know, in Lorenzo's case, if his leathers don't fit just right, he starts thinking about the chafing, and then he starts thinking about it, and then poof, it's destroyed.
Exactly.
The really interesting thing is how well he knows that now.
Yeah.
Right?
So does it really bother him so much?
Well,
yeah,
it gives him one more stop to go, whoa, don't do
exactly.
that to yourself. That's just the fucking leathers, dude. Don't worry about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Right? You don't have to go down that path anymore.
Exactly. If it's in practice, he knows he can just go in and change his leathers. But if it's in the race, he knows, okay, turn that off.
Okay.
Right?
So some weirdness from the silly season. I didn't know this.
Crutchlow and Ducati.
Yeah, right? That was... Go figure, right?
Dude, did you see the interview with him from after Indy?
No.
He was full-on squirreling.
What do you mean?
What's the thing in the movie Up? The cartoon movie Up with all the balloons?
Oh, Jesus
the
Christ,
dog right? is talking.
Right?
And then he sees a squirrel.
Squirrel!
Goes, oh, squirrel! So they're interviewing Crutchlow, and he can't look at the camera. His head is just flicking back and forth, right. left and right, and his eyeballs are going like Homer Simpson, like ding, 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 ding. Like, oh my God, dude, calm down. Stop drinking the Red Bull.
No, he needed some of that champagne from the podium.
Yeah, something.
You know? Yeah, I heard that. Now, the latest...
That's just smokescreen. That's just bullshit.
It wasn't going to be the factory team. It was going to be one of the, you know, but then again. But the latest on Crutchlow is... Mark VDS, the Scott Redding's team.
I don't know why anybody would want a rider who is that random.
Because he's popular, because he brings in attention. That's, you know, that's what you that, remember. A rider's job is to gather attention. That's in any athletes are entertainers, and their job is to attract attention. Crutchlow attracts attention. Scott Redding is just like, he's one of those guys, you're looking at him through his career,
he's
moderately talented, but he's not going to make it up there. And the Northern European, British media, who's like desperately looking for their great next non-Spanish hope, right?
You know, they got like, Bradley Smith now.
Yeah, now
he's
they're...
doing good. I like that guy, too.
He's smart.
He's got his shit together, he tries hard. Yeah,
exactly. Good corporate player, went to do Suzuka. It's a hard race.
You know, I couldn't figure out. There were three riders.
Uh-huh.
One is the backup guy, and two race.
No, I think they all race.
They
now.
Do all three races.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. I think they banned, if I'm not mistaken, they banned the during the race IV fuel.
That's old news.
Yeah, they did that. And I think the compensation for that was that you got another rider.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that the riders have different color armbands? And when I did Suzuka, the white armband was for the faster rider. And I kept my white armband.
I would have.
I still have it.
Yeah. I would have stabbed somebody and taken theirs, right? Hey!
No. Now I have to come clean here. This was a Suzuka 4-hour support race, not the 8-hour.
Oh, I never thought you were that fast.
I got to try out for it, though.
You know what? Beat me, man.
We're at 18 and we haven't talked about electronics.
What? We are not at 18.
We are at 18.
Okay. Well, then maybe we could save that till the next one, okay?
Let's give a teaser.
Well, don't be surprised if this whole spec electronics thing is gone by the end of the year. Read your September issue of Road Racing World. You will read Matt Oxley finally coming around to the position that I published on motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
Keeping up with you, Michael, is impossible.
Only
a couple months behind you is a good
standard. No, it's a year and a half, but it's a... You know what, Ed? You and I have been around this business and this sport for so long.
What's the change they're talking about?
First off, we'll talk about it. It doesn't take that long. Okay. The spec electronics are garbage.
Yeah, apparently, right? Ask Mickey Hayden about that.
Yeah, right? They're awful. Number two... the companies, the big companies, are still loath to disclose all of their data.
Right.
Number three, they've had little bits of the new next year's whatever GP or open, whatever they're calling it, stuff rolled out. And every time that new piece of it gets rolled out, the factories go, "This is shit. We're not using this." And fourth, Matt Oxley points out in the latest issue of Road Racing World, he says, what happens if Honda or Yamaha or Ducati just get to the end of the year and go, we're not using that shit on our bikes next year. We're sticking with our stuff. kick us out of the championship if you want to.
Yeah,
is Dorner really going to go, right?
Right.
You know? There's a great quote from a crew chief who says, the spec ECU is the biggest, this is the quote, biggest piece of bullshit ever to be foisted onto this paddock.
Well, you know, Chris Ulrich is struggling with his Martin Marietta system.
Magneti Morelli.
Martin
Marietta built bombers.
Right, okay.
What's it? Magneti Morelli.
Okay. So these guys are the leaders of this stuff, right?
Right.
And they, you know, you call them up and you order two sets for his Suzuki Superbike.
Right.
Well, you would think that they could send you two complete sets that work, right?
No, you don't get software too. You have to program that shit most
okay.
of the time. But go ahead.
But Chris's problems is in the hardware side.
Right.
They, you know, the thing just doing random shit is he writes about it in his most recent issue that I've read. I haven't
right.
got the one that you're talking about yet.
It's online.
Anyway, they tried a whole bunch of stuff, yada, yada, yada. They finally sent both systems back to where these guys are, in Italy somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay? And those guys did all their tests, and they said, oh, the ground is bad through the shifter that you're using. I'm like, come on. Are you kidding me?
You know,
how
are you? It's a matter of
you telling me it doesn't come with a shifter thing?
Yeah.
Right?
And it's trying to integrate all those parts.
My point is, there's so many things going on.
Right.
It's unbelievably complicated.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you know, hardware and software.
Uh-huh.
Problems, right, at the
right.
same time.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
It's, don't get me wrong, it's complicated, and that's why the whole idea of somebody else writing a pile of software and then giving it to everybody else and going, make this work with your hardware, I mean, as a rider, you're just like going, oh, crap.
Well, it sounds like it should be possible. I mean,
of course, but
right?
then
you
yeah.
can make a word processor that can do whatever you want. It works on all different computers, and it's just
software. I kind of think some of those computers, first off, okay, the computer analogy falls flat because all computers on this planet come from like three factories in China. Okay, I mean, they've all got the same freaking components in them. So the hardware's all
the factories are in America.
The hardware's all the same is my point. You know, it's scary to think. Who is the astronaut who once said the terrifying thought was at the moment of launch to think that you're sitting on top of this thing that's been put together by the lowest bidder.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's a statement that military guys use all the time
yeah,
for
right.
whatever,
right.
your tank or a ship
yeah,
or
exactly.
airplane.
Yeah, but this guy's about to get launched into outer freaking space, Ed.
So the
no
problem
air.
That they were trying to, well, not that there's no air, there's just
very, very little air, right?
The problem they were trying to solve was they're trying
no
to adults. Keep the level, trying to level the playing field. Right, and the problem is that the factories with the most resources, Honda, Yamaha, are so far ahead of everybody else that there's no hope. So they tried to come up with a deal where we'll take your data and we'll share it with everybody. And it's sounding like the execution of this idea is just not going to work.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe if the thing is so screwed up, then it gives you an easy solution, which is nobody will do this, we can't do it, we're going to put this date off another year and see what we come up with,
right? Exactly.
Because obviously you can't have Rossi getting hurt because of some electronic system that you're like they're okay hurting Nikki
right? Hayden, right?
But they're not okay
or
hurting
or Michael Laverty, you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
There's like 84 racing Lavertys. We could lose one or two of them. here's hang on, is there a soapbox around here? Son of a... Okay,
yeah.
I'll just stand up. Here's the deal. The people who have been advocating this, you know, spec electronics have to do this, are the ones who are looking at racing purely as entertainment. Bloggers like, what's that knucklehead over at motomatters.com? I can't remember his name now. The guys who run Dorna, they're looking at it as like, what happens
right.
between the green flag... or the lights and the checkered flag. We need to make that entertaining. But racing, you know what? I might need the national anthem playing in the background as I make this speech. It's that, the soapbox isn't good enough.
4 score and 7 years ago
this is
today,
what I'm talking
our
about.
Fathers brought forth. No, you're supposed to talk.
Okay.
I'm doing the background. On this continent, a new
racing,
nation conceived
right?
in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are
it's,
created
no, it's
equal.
It's gotta be music, Ed.
It's got to be music.
Yeah, you
I
can.
Want a hippopotamus.
Oh, not the hippopotamus song again.
You asked for music. No, you know, you're right.
So
Dorna was concerned about the show. But here's the thing. If you happen to look at the show now,
it's spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
It's great.
So maybe the thing to do is find a way to back out of this deal, let everybody save a little face, and, you know, don't do it.
Here's the deal.
Because the racing is spectacular.
Racing does not exist in a vacuum.
Racing, because there's no air. You can't breathe.
Right? It's up there with the astronaut, the low bidder, and the air. Right?
Yeah.
No. Nobody.
Ram air systems don't work well without air.
Right? And it's really, really hard to find your slippers in zero G. The manufacturers aren't just going to build bikes and go, we've got just an equal chance of beating everybody. We don't want an advantage. We want all the bikes to cross the finish line at the same time. It doesn't work that way. And finally, sinking through into some of their thick heads out there, that we can't just ask Honda or Yamaha or Ducati, hey, just build us a bike that'll put on a good show. They're not interested in that. Matt Oxley, again, our GP correspondent over at Road Racing World, said in his in the column, it's in the September issue where he talks about this, he said, you can't tell these boards of directors for these big corporations to turn away from the single most important area of development in human endeavor at this point in history. They're just not interested. You want to solve this problem with electronics? Make every bike run a carburetor. Just go right back and specify here, round slide or CV.
Yeah, but then they're not going to enter this series.
No, nobody's ever going to enter that series. And so it's nice.
No, it's always been a conflict, a balancing act to try to figure. And, you know, the side that says we got to have a good show, they're right. Right? And the side that says we got to have development, they're right. You know, and you can so look back in time and you can go, look, Mick Doohan was a great rider, but those were some boring races. Right?
Right.
And what we got going now is better. And, you know, nobody knows the exact right. But if your idea is solely it's got to be a show or solely it's got to be development, you guys are wrong. There's got to be a give and a take. And,
here's what it is. You'd have to take a step back and look at every race is not going to be. Suzuka 1990? When did Kevin Schwantz join the fray?
Well, back then, Suzuka was usually pretty exciting, but that was mostly just because it was all so new.
And it was...
They didn't know how fast they could go yet, and they kind of were judging off each other.
Right, it was like six people fighting for the lead.
The next race would always be much more spread out.
Right.
But a huge part of that was those were vicious bikes to ride.
Yeah.
And these bikes are simpler, and more people can compete. You know, we still have the four aliens at the front, but then, Jesus Christ, you can throw a blanket over everybody else.
Right.
Right? The gaps that you see are because of this guy has a broken foot today, and that guy picked the wrong tire.
Right.
And the next round, those guys in those positions shuffled up.
When's the last time you saw anybody get lapped?
Yeah, we don't
anymore. Yeah, we used to see people getting lapped
twice in a race. I remember a guy was racing a 500 Gamma street bike in the GPs. Right?
What?
Yeah, and getting lapped, you know?
Ugh.
That's right. So, I mean, people want to complain about the second string bikes today.
Right?
They're way better than what we were.
I remember when I first started watching the sport, the 5-year-old Honda triples were the ones that made up the back third of the grid.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys, those
Well, I think the idea of having two classes together, you know, an A and a B, that is working. It's working for Moto America.
Mm-hmm.
It's filling the grids because, absolutely. When the race is going, we're going to watch the four aliens. But it's going to look lame to have just four guys on the grid.
Right.
Right? And there are sponsors and there is revenue and people will support
exactly
a 20-field team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by having B bikes with whatever lower spec, by all means. But, so they tried to change the electronics rules and it looks like maybe it's not going to work. Okay, I'm not crying because what I'm seeing is fantastic, and what I know of the amount of electronics that I've I've been reading what Chris is saying about his stuff.
Right.
I rode R1M, whenever.
Right.
What I can tell you from that is that it's fucking complicated, and you're not going to have an easy answer to this stuff. But we have to go there because it's so valuable.
I can tell you two things, and I'll wrap this up. Number one, I'm happy that they're racing on these electronics because the stuff that they race with makes the street stuff better.
Absolutely.
I've ridden bikes with early ABS, and it's horrible.
That's what all the people who have ridden all the early stuff tell me about the M. It's just the R1. It's just, it's mind-blowing. Yeah, exactly, right?
You know?
So for sure, we've got to keep the development that it, we really are, you and me and everybody listening to this, really can benefit directly from what those guys are building by going and buy those bikes on. That's a good thing. Don't take that away.
And the other thing is this. We don't have to, every race doesn't have to be spectacular. We take a step back and we appreciate just the fact that racing exists.
Well,
it's not rugby. We're not stuck watching rugby, Ed.
Rugby's pretty spectacular
to
watch, dude.
No, there's a man called a hooker in that sport, dude. That's uncomfortable.
You know, though, the thing is that all the races have been spectacular.
There's a lot of hugging in rugby.
The drama, like, you could say there was only one pass for the lead at Indy. But that would show totally under, right? I mean, the guys were 2 inches apart the whole time.
In the race
in
Argentina, there was only one pass.
You know
what
else?
Right?
You know what else is making the racing so good? Uh-huh. The quality of the coverage. I was just thinking about watching the detail that we can see of Lorenzo and Marquez going at it for that whole race.
Okay.
You could see every time one of them made a mistake and how they corrected it. And think back to, you know, the VHS videos we used to watch, and you couldn't see the detail like that.
So that adds
to the whole thing.
Okay, but you know what I really don't need is the goddamn knee puck on the ground sensor. I mean, really? Come on.
Yeah.
God, save that for the Nintendos, you know?
So,
how long is this?
Too long.
Oh, my God.
30 minutes.
I think
the record is 33, though.
Know what? This is a bonus episode.
There you go. So it's been good, and we might have a surprise for you next time.
What?
Yeah, a surprise.
A surprise?
A surprise.
Does it involve either an Aprilia or Hickory Farms?
That does not.
Damn it.
Yes.
Thanks, bro Hickory.
He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo.
Aloha.